If you read in chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, be referring to the entire chapter. You should have received the sermon notes at home, or there were extra copies there for you if you needed them when you came in. Let's hear the word of the Lord together, beginning in verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under this tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." So he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, then he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty, and the Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." But the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. And Lord, as we open up your word again together today, I pray that you would encourage us by your truth. Reveal to us your truth for us today, that each one of us may hear and receive from you exactly what you need and what we need in our hearts today. Of course, Lord, you know us. You know so well. You know the burdens that we have on our heart and even the joys that we had as we were coming here this morning. So, Lord, speak your word into our hearts today, that we can leave here rejoicing because we know that we have met with you and we have worshiped together. Bring glory to your Son, and it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. So how did you spend your quarantine these last 3 months? Some people spent their time cleaning closets. Kim and I were part of that. Cleaning closets, and I found stuff that I hadn't found in years. Maybe you did too. I cleaned out my study, organized that, which Kim said looked like a bomb had exploded in there before. So I cleaned that out. Cleaned up the attic and found scores and scores of Christmas boxes from years gone by. Every time for 19 years worth of Christmases, whenever we would open our Christmas presents, I said, "Save the boxes and put them upstairs because I said we might need them again." So we had to clean the attic because of the air conditioning. And I'm throwing all these boxes down from upstairs to below. The whole living room was filled with boxes. I called Gene Garber and I said, "Can you help me get rid of these?" He loaded them in his truck and he hauled them away for us. So that was one thing. But a lot of people have done a lot of different things. But what did you learn from these last 3 months? It gave us some time to maybe spend some more time with the Lord than you had before. maybe to read a book, maybe to spend some different time in study, learn a lot of different lessons. It's time alone definitely gave us some time to think. As we were standing out the window wishing maybe we could be taking part in the activities going on, but it gives a lot of time to go through our mind and think about things and process things. But what did you learn about God in these months? And what did you learn about yourself? And what did you learn about others? Because these 3 months have definitely given us a time. It's also a time when we needed haircuts. As the hair grew longer and longer, this was a picture of a boys' school picture for next year. And we went green. Kim and I were so glad that we finally were able to get our hair cut yesterday. But we wanted to show you a picture of the before version. And my hair was so long. And Kim, she had to keep it up with a ponytail in the front. I mean, a hairband in the front. And to try to keep it out of her eyes. And maybe you felt like this. You know, after week four, it was kind of getting long. And so you tried to kind of cut it yourself. Maybe put a bow on your head and maybe try to give yourself an Amish cut. Maybe you felt like that. I was so glad to get my hair cut yesterday. Kim spent a lot of time working on puzzles, like she's doing now. But she can do that and listen at the same time. But imagine if this was you, and you were quarantined with the principal. Because a lot of kids were stuck home with their parents teaching them. And this boy says, you think you have it rough, try being quarantined with the principal. But a lot of lessons we could have learned in these weeks. But today I want to share with you from God's Word some lessons that I learned in quarantine. Some things that God taught me through these months, and I'm sure he taught you some as well. And if we could all share together and take some time this morning and share what God has taught you in these months, I'm sure we could be here for several hours. But I just want to share with you. And we're going to look at the scripture from 1 Kings chapter 19. Because in this, we see a story that kind of relates to what we just had come through in our life. And it focuses on the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah was called to minister to the Lord during the nation of Israel during a hard and dark time. During the time in which he lived, King Ahab was on the throne. King Ahab was known as the most wicked of all the kings of Israel. His wife's name was Jezebel. And all you have to do is say the name Jezebel, and right away all kinds of thoughts of wickedness and evil come to our mind. We know what she was like. And they led the people away from God and to worship Baal, the false god. And they had 450 prophets of Baal that she would feed at their table, and they served, and they led the nation away from belief in God. It was one of the darkest times in Israel's history, a time of great wickedness, a time of great ungodliness. In the midst of that, God sent a drought, and for 3 years, it did not rain as a punishment on the nation for their sin. So right before this, in chapter 18, just to put this in context, there was a contest that took place after these 3 years. Elijah called the people together on Mount Carmel, and he said, we're going to have a showdown. And he called the prophets of Baal. He said, you build an altar, and I'm going to build an altar to the Lord. And you prepare a sacrifice, and I'm going to prepare a sacrifice, if you remember the story. And he said, put the sacrifice on the altar and pray to your God, and the God that answers by fire is truly the Lord. So the prophets of Baal went first. They put their sacrifice on the altar. They prayed all day to Baal. They even slashed themselves and they danced around, did everything they could to try to get Baal to answer, and he didn't. And Elijah began to mock. In the evening, then Elijah prayed to the Lord. And he said, Father, Lord, show who you are. Show your glory. And fire from heaven came, consumed the sacrifice, the trench, and all of it. And they knew that the Lord was God. So Elijah said, take all the prophets of Baal and seize them. It was a high time. Chapter 8, remember, was 18 was a very high time. Great victory that was just won for Elijah. Keep that in context. So chapter 19 opens up. King Ahab goes back to Queen Jezebel. Tells him what had just happened on Mount Carmel. about the prophets of Baal when the showdown had happened and the people acknowledging the Lord. So she said, she put a death threat out on Elijah. And she said, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tonight, Elijah, you are not dead and you are not in the grave. And so an APB was put out for Elijah. She marshaled all the forces of Israel to hunt him down and to track him down and kill him. Elijah, on hearing the news, he just had that victory. He just had that place where God's power was shown. On hearing the news, what did he do? He ran for his life and he self-quarantined. He hid out in a cave because he was afraid. He heard the news and he hid and he was afraid. Does that sound familiar with our people, with where we were in the last 3 months? Hearing the news, hiding out for our life, for fear of our life. And that's what he did. And he ran to the cave. That's not where God wanted him to be, as we'll see. But he ran to that cave. It took a 40 days journey to get there, to Mount Sinai, where God had met with Moses on the mountain, and hid there. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I've served you. I've done all you asked. And now they're trying to kill me. To take my life, I want to die. And he threw a pity party and said, Lord, I want to die. His fear, that's where it led him. And he was quarantined in the cave. And in that time of quarantine, God came to him. And God met him. Not in a powerful earthquake. Not in the shaking of the mountain, which had happened many other times when Moses was there on Mount Sinai. God had spoke and the mountain shook, but that was not the case here. God spoke to him in a still, quiet, gentle whisper. And you know, it's in those times when we are still that we can hear God's voice, and in the stillness and the quietness. And maybe in these last 3 months when we were still, everything came to a pause around us. And in the quietness, in the stillness, God speaks to us, right? And he did to Elijah. And Elijah learned some powerful lessons in that time of quarantine. When he was self-quarantined himself for fear, he learned some powerful lessons when the Lord met him. We do as well. Looking at this scripture, let's go and discover six things that we can learn, six lessons that we learn from Elijah and from our own life, and that what God taught me in these months together. And don't worry, they're not going to be long. We're not going to be here all day. The first one is that God is in control. God is in control of all the events that happened. And Elijah, as he was running for his life, should have learned that God was sovereign. He had demonstrated that on Mount Carmel. He had shown the power of God. And God's power was on full display. And the Lord and the people cried out at the end of chapter 18, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And they acknowledged that. And Elijah knew that God was sovereign, but in times in the fear and times in the hard times come, and when we get crisis experiences, sometimes we can lose track of the fact that God is sovereign and control, can't we? And fear can take over, and fear can crowd that away from us, and we lose track of the fact that even in those storms that seem out of control and raging around us, God is still in control and has all things in his hand. And we can believe that. And Elijah needed to be reminded of that. That God is not surprised and caught off guard. God was not caught off guard by COVID-19. It wasn't a surprise to him. Nothing's a surprise to him. Our God is greater than that. He is sovereign and Lord over all things, right? And even the hardships of life. He has a purpose, and he works all things out for the good. And Elijah, hiding in the cave, had forgotten that, that he served a sovereign God who was in control. He was in control and protecting Elijah's life. He didn't have to fear because the Lord would watch over him. He was his fortress. He's our fortress. And we need to live by faith and not by fear. And when we forget the fact that God is not sovereign, fear begins to take over in our life. And it did for him. He is our fortress. He is with us. And he works all things out for the good, even COVID-19. Do you believe that? Because God has a purpose in this pandemic. And Kim and I have had this conversation several times throughout these months that Kim says, this is biblical in what we're seeing going on around us. This is, God has a purpose in what he's doing. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But he's in control. And he's sovereign, and he's on the throne, and he will bring about his purpose, right? So we can trust him. And so don't forget that. It's one of the lessons we learned in these last 3 months. God is in control. Second lesson is that you can't stop God. You can't stop him. In verses 1 through 3, it says that Elijah was afraid, verse 3, and he ran for his life. When she said, if by this time tomorrow I would not make your life as one of them. And he ran for his life, and he hid in the cave, and he was fearful. And Jezebel said, I am going to stop the work of God. Yes, God may have shown himself powerfully on Mount Carmel, but I am going to stop the work of God. And tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, Elijah's going to be the dead, and God's word is not going to go forth. I am going to silence God's word, and I'm not going to let it happen. And we're going to keep it shut down. But yet, that's not what happened. God met Elijah in this cave. And he said to him in verse 16 and 15, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram, and anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to succeed you as prophet. God was in essence saying to Elijah, you can't stop me. Hiding in a cave here is not going to stop my work. I have a purpose, I have a will, and I'm going to accomplish it. And you can't stop what I'm going to do. How does this apply to our life, and how did we learn it? Well, God can't be contained, and he can't be put in a box. Elijah ran to a cave, leaving Israel and going to a cave, but God's presence was there. God's presence wasn't just in the temple in Jerusalem. We learned in these last 3 months, as we were not meeting together, that God was not contained to this building, right? He is not contained here. No matter where we are, he is, and his presence is everywhere, and we can't stop him. He is not confined to a building. We can't put God in a box. And many times, sometimes we limit God by our lack of faith, and we try to contain him, and we try to put him in a box. But God is outside that, and God is far greater, and he can't be stopped. Another way we've seen in these last 3 months that God can't be stopped is when the message came on March 16th that the churches were to be shut down. And everything was to be shut down, the schools and everything, for 3 months. Well, we thought 2 weeks, went on to be 3 months. Satan thought, perhaps, that he had won in silencing the churches. The churches were empty. He thought the message was silenced. And the work of God was going to stop for 3 months, so Satan thought. And he probably smiled and jumped up and down in glee. But did the work of God come to a stop in the last 3 months? No, because our God is unstoppable. Churches stepped up, used technology in new ways, and I had to go a big learning curve. George used to teach me baby steps. I think I took some giant steps in these last 3 months to learn to increase technology, but churches used technology in new ways to get the word out on an online presence. And you know what? The word of God and the gospel went out in greater ways in these last 3 months than all the times when the churches were open. Because more people heard the word of God in new ways than they ever had before. These last 3 months took the gospel and the message out of the church buildings and out to where the people were. And God could not be stopped. And God cannot be tamed. And I say, praise God for that. And you know, a lot of people were saved. People heard the gospel that never would have before. Because our God is an unstoppable God. And he can't be contained. And praise the Lord for that. Also, as the church went out of the building and was not meeting together, and we are the church, this not this building, we are the church. And as the church began to be the church in the world, when there were needs, I heard people were responding to it and taking groceries to people that needed it. Even here, we put out a call for rice and people responded to it. And ways in which the church was being the church in the world and to the community where we were. Because God cannot be stopped. And he can't be contained. Praise God. One of the lessons we've learned in this month. And God will build his church. We have an unstoppable God. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not what prevail or overcome against it. And we always think of that picture of the gates of hell shall not overcome it as a church standing there on defense, holding a wall and thinking that kingdom of Satan's not going to, we're defending ourselves against the kingdom of Satan. But really what Jesus is saying, it's a picture of offense. It's the church going forward and the kingdom of Satan cannot stand against us because we serve a greater God. We serve an empowered God who cannot be stopped and contained. And the power of his spirit at work through us. Praise God. He will. His purpose will be accomplished. And he will finish what he started. Philippians chapter 1:8 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Whatever his purpose is in this COVID, he will accomplish that. Whatever his purpose is in your life, and the things he allows you to go through, he will accomplish and fulfill in you. He will finish what he started. So when you're going through those hard and difficult times, and it seems dark around you, and Elijah hiding out in the cave, and it seemed dark to him, God wasn't finished with Elijah yet. He said, I still have more work for you to do. Go anoint the kings. Go anoint the new prophet, your successor. I still have work. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not completed. I can't stop what I had to do. Third, the lesson we see. God is in control. You can't stop God. Third lesson we learned from Elijah and in time of quarantine is that fellowship is important. Do I hear an amen to that? Fellowship is important. That if anything we've learned in these last 3 months of being in isolation, that's not what God designed for us. God, fellowship is important, and to be together as a family is so vital. Notice in verse 3 and 4, it says, Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, what did he do? He left his servant there, and he went on by himself another day's journey into the desert. And then he prayed that he might die. And when the Lord finally met him, he said, I'm the only one that's left. I've tried to serve the Lord. I've tried to do what you wanted me to do. And I'm the only one. I'm all by myself. And I want to die. But was he really all by himself? No, because the Lord said to him later on, there's 3,000 more that believe in the Lord. But his isolation, his self-quarantining himself and not being in fellowship with others affected him. Because, see, fellowship is important because without it, it leads to depression, being alone, depression, and all of that. And it's so vital and it's so important. God never intended for us to be alone. He's a relational God, and he created us for relationships. And if one thing we learned is that worship is vital, gathering together is so important. I don't know about you, but on Sunday morning, and the first Sunday morning, and everyone, but the first Sunday morning especially too, when I got up that first Sunday, we didn't have church, I got up and it felt like something was missing in my heart. I don't know about you. I've always gotten to church every Sunday, and it seems like something's missing. And not being able to be together with God's people, not being able to worship the Lord. And I've learned, and I'm sure you have too, how precious it is for us to be together and to worship the Lord, isn't it? It's a precious and it's a privilege that I hope none of us ever take lightly again. Because sometimes we might have the feeling, we get up and feel, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. It's not that important. But I think we've learned how important it really is and how vital that fellowship with one another is. It was for Elijah. And the Lord came to him, and the Lord to him said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And that question, I think the Lord was confronting him and saying, Isaiah, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding out in a cave? I don't intend for you to be here. I intend for you to be with God's people. Why are you by yourself? Why are you forsaking the assembling of yourself with God's people? Why are you isolating yourself? Get back with God's people. Get back where you belong. I think that's one of the things the Lord was saying to him. Because fellowship is important for encouragement. We need to be together to encourage each other, don't we? Because I'll tell you, in those times, 3 months when we can't be together, it can be discouraging. We need that encouragement. Even if we can't give each other hugs right now or handshakes, just being together and seeing each other is still an encouragement to one another. We can still speak to each other. Encouragement is also important for our spiritual and emotional well-being. An English doctor conducted an experiment to study the effects of isolation on people. And he built a soundproof room that was 9 by 9. It was soundproof in size, and he suspended it with a nylon rope. Each participant wore padded fur gloves and had heavy woolen socks to eliminate the sensation of touch. Several special translucent goggles limited their vision. And after just 1 hour of isolation, some people found it impossible to concentrate. This was followed by feelings of anxiety and panic, and people could not stay in the room for more than 5 hours. Because God did not design us to live in isolation. That's not His purpose for us. Fellowship never are to be isolated from each other, and we learn how just important fellowship is and how vital it is. And I pray that you treasure your fellowship with one another in the body and the family of Christ, and our fellowship with God and our worshiping of Him. Fellowship is essential. It's important. Fourth lesson that we learn in quarantine that Elijah should have learned is that live life one day at a time. In verses 7 and 8, it says, as he was journeying to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, it said it was a 40-day journey. And it said that he was afraid, and he ran, and he said, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And it said an angel came and touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around in verse 6, and there was a cake of bread and hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank, and he laid down again. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah didn't have the strength on his own, but it was when the Lord touched him and gave him the strength that he needed for each day to make the journey. If you would go back into chapter 17, you would see in verse 1 through 6 that Elijah, whenever the famine came, God told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and there the Lord fed him with ravens. Every day, it said every day and every evening, the ravens would bring him the food that he needed. When that dried up and the brook dried up, the Lord said, go to Zarephath, and there a widow would take care of you. And he went to Zarephath, and he asked for a cake, and she said, I don't have anything. All I have is this last bit of oil, and I'm ready to make it, and it's going to be the last meal, and I'm going to die. But he said, give it to me first. And as he did, God multiplied it. And every day when she went, God would supply the need every single day. And how does that apply to our life lesson in quarantine? Well, when this began 3 months ago, and I heard the first couple weeks of news, and dear friends, don't turn the news on all the time. It gets depressing, doesn't it? And after the first couple of weeks, I was hearing the news and hearing what was going on, and the numbers kept getting worse, and this was going blowing up, and the media seems to exaggerate it and all that. And I have to confess to you, some anxiety hit me. I don't know about you, but some anxiety hit me. It's like, how are we going to get through this? And then when I thought of the prospects of 2 to 3 months stuck in the house, I thought, how in the world, until we get back together again, how? And when I'm one of those people that when I'm stuck in the house for one day with a snowstorm, I'm going stir crazy. I don't know about you. And I said to Kim, I said, next year, if we get a good snowstorm and we're stuck in the house for 2 days, believe me, I'm not going to complain. Now, mark that down. You know how it is. But I thought, how, Lord, am I ever going to cope with this? You hear the news, and day after day, how am I going to make it through 3 months of this? And Elijah probably felt that way. Lord, how am I going to make it through this? And after about 2 weeks in, God spoke to me. He said, live life one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about how long you're going to be stuck in the house. Just ask me for the strength to get you through this day. And then when you get through this day, you'll be one day closer. And then when you get through tomorrow, ask him for the strength to get through that day. And don't think about how many months it's going to be, but just, Lord, get me through the strength to get me through today. And you know, when I did that, my whole mindset changed. And it seemed like after that, the weeks began to speed up for me. And it seemed like before I knew it, wow, we came through the 3 months. God did it one day at a time. And shouldn't we all live our life that way? Right, one day at a time. Jesus taught us, don't worry about tomorrow in Matthew. He said, don't worry about what you see. Don't worry about tomorrow. Each day is enough day if it's a problem of its own. Just live for this day. Give us today our daily bread. And the Lord strengthened Elijah one day at a time to give him the strength that he needed. And he will us as well. Don't worry about the future. Don't fear what's ahead, because the future is out of our hands. We can't control it. We sure learned that. It's in his. And live life one day at a time and trust him in it. Powerful lesson that I think we can all learn and apply to our life. Strength for this day. Fifth lesson learned in quarantine is that people need hope. And God said to Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding out in the cave? Why are you here? This, you're a prophet of God. This is not where I intend you to be. He said, go back. There, go back the way you came to the desert and go and anoint Hazael and Jehu and Elisha. Go back and tend to your ministry, because there's people that need me. Don't hide out in a cave. Don't shelter yourself. Go back and do what I've called you to do. People need hope. And if ever we've seen in these last 3 months, we are living in some pretty hopeless times. A lot of people feel hopeless, don't they? And people desperately need hope. And we have the answer to that. The scripture says to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And for hope for us is not something, an uncertainty, but it's a certainty, it's assurance. It's that we know and have hope of eternal life in heaven. There's people that don't have that assurance, and they're feeling completely hopeless in these days. And it's been made clear. And you and I have that hope. And we've learned that people need it. And so God didn't intend for us to keep it confined here. He didn't intend for us to keep that hope to ourselves or silent, but he wants us to share it with somebody else. And who around you needs hope? Who around you is that person that you can be that hope, point people to the hope of Jesus? Because people desperately need him. People feel lost. People feel desperate and in need of the salvation that is found in no other except Jesus alone. He is the only way. And the last lesson, and I told you, they'll go quickly, is to make every moment count. In these 3 months, we've learned the importance of making every moment that we have count. And don't, he said, verses 15 through 21, get back to your ministry. And so verse 19 said, Elijah then went there and he found Elisha, and he was planning with 12 yokes of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak over him, and Elijah left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He knew what that meant. He knew he was being called. And he said, first let me go back and kiss my father and mother goodbye. Then I'll come with you. And then he left him and he went back and he took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them. And he burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave it to his people and ate. And then he set out and he followed Elijah and became his attendant. He knew that he needed to make every moment count. God had called him and he had to make it count. And in our life as well, God was saying to Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding out in the cave? There's work that needs to be done. There's people that need to be reached. There's hope that needs to be shared. And why are you hiding out here? We don't know what a day may bring. And life is fragile and uncertain. And we sure have seen that in the last 3 months. And we need to stop playing games and take our faith seriously. And maybe these times in these 3 months has made us realize that, you know, we need to take our faith with the Lord seriously and deepen that relationship with him. Stop playing games because people need Jesus and time is running out. And it's a wake-up call to all of us in our lives spiritually to make what's really important, what is really important and what matters the most. These 3 months has caused people to examine within our heart what really is most important. What do I need to commit my life to? A lot of things around us were taken away. We saw sports being taken away. We saw entertainment being taken away. We saw a lot of things being taken away. But I'll tell you one thing that wasn't, that was Jesus. Jesus remains. And it shows us what really is important and what we need to commit our life to as all the other idols have crumbled before his feet. And time is short. And each day is a day closer, and we don't know when that return may be. So what did you learn in these three months? God spoke to Elijah, not in the loud earthquake, not in the fire, not in roaring thunder, but in a small, soft, gentle whisper. And in the stillness of that, in his self-quarantine for fear, God met him. And in our time of 3 months, in the silence and the stillness, I pray that God met you. Maybe that God changed you in some ways. Maybe God showed you some things that you need to do business with him. Maybe there's some things he showed you that you still need to deal with. But what has he taught you? What have you learned in these last 3 months? Like Elijah, we need to learn that God is in control. We don't need to fear. He is in control. He has it. He can handle it. He's greater. That we can't stop God. His work will be accomplished. His will be done. He can't be contained. Fellowship is so vitally important. And we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves and take it for granted again how precious it is to gather in a Sunday morning. Live life one day at a time and don't worry or have anxiety about the future of what the next day may bring. But trust in his provision. People need hope and they need Jesus and they need the hope that we have. And live and make every moment count because we're not guaranteed of what may happen next. That's what God taught me. That's what God taught Elijah. Practical lessons I think we all can learn as we continue to move forward, as we continue to follow him together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us in the stillness and in the quietness. And in the times of quarantine, and Elijah, Lord, when he quarantined himself because of fear, on hearing the news, he cowered in fear and ran for his life. And you met him there and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? This isn't where I want you to be. I want you to be out. I want you to be out representing me in my world. And you met him. And he learned some vital lessons in that time in the stillness as you spoke to him quietly. And Lord, I pray that in these past 3 months that you've spoken to all of us, that we've had the moments we've had whenever all the other distractions have been taken away from our life, we've had the moments to sit in the stillness and the quietness to hear you speak to us. I pray that all of us have heard you speak to us in new ways, and that we've learned some deeper things in our life that has deepened our relationship with you and called us and challenged even our commitment. Thank you for teaching us how vitally important it is to be together, that when we forsake and when we put ourselves in isolation, as Elijah did, it leads to depression and discouragement. Sometimes, in this case, it was forced, but Lord, may we not forget how important it is to be together, how precious that is. And Lord, that you are in control. And sometimes the events of life and fear, we can put our eyes on that and we forget that you are sovereign, you are on the throne. You just demonstrated the power of that to Elijah in chapter 18. He had seen it firsthand. And then he runs for his very life because his fear and putting his eyes on the situation he was in took his eyes off of you and off your sovereignty of your greatness. And Lord, you're greater than any problem or challenge we may ever face. And you are on the throne. May we always remember that. We thank you that you can't be stopped, that you can't be contained. Your work will go forth. Your message will be proclaimed because you are greater. And Lord, the people need hope. May they see the hope in us that we have, that in these days we could still come through them with thanksgiving and rejoicing because we have hope in you and we have confidence. And we need to make every moment count because we don't know what a day may bring. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds it, and it's in your hands. So thank you for teaching us some vital lessons from your word today and in these months past. And continue, Lord, to speak to us in the stillness and in the quiet, as just like Elijah, we hear you in the stillness and a gentle whisper as through your spirit you speak to our spirit, encouraging us with your truth. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.